This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
And so I want to welcome my first guest, who is vibrationally oriented, which is such a funny thing to say. He's one of the most successful men. I call him the Jerry Maguire of real life. He had a multi-billion dollar empire working with celebrities and sports figures. And I've met him at the right season of his life. The generosity, the smile that I see, look at this. I gotta bring David Meltzer up to the stage. You make my life better, and I love you for being in it. Welcome to the stage, Mr. David Meltzer.
What a terrific introduction. And I was blessed to be part of the Forbes Riley birthday tour in San Diego. We actually had Forbes featured in Las Vegas at our TV show in our dinner celebrating her birthday, and then also blessed to speak between Ed Milet and Donald Trump Jr. at Limitless, the bigger stages, to show a significant advancement in that frequency with the right people and the right ideas. And to circle back when we're both at home after an extraordinary birthday week is a blessing and no coincidence. I will tell you that as you were talking about numerology and numbers, my number popped up on the screen, 1111. It's now 1113 or 14. It just switched. But I was born on January 11th. 1111 is the ones, the sign of that oneness that you talked about, the ability to appreciate differences, not to dwell on the similarities, but to appreciate the difference. You are one in 8 billion people, Forbes, one in 8 billion. That makes you a miracle. It took one in a trillion chances for you even to be one in 8 billion here on Earth. So to think about the oneness and to understand that we share a oneness in mutual admiration as well as mutual energy, and we are on the same mission to empower others to be happy. And thank you for sharing this time with me at my lucky number 1111.
Which is quite ironic because here in Tampa, it's not that same number. So it's really special that you would be experiencing that, right?
Right, exactly. There's no accidents. All coincidences, the coinciding of our attention and intention. And you're very intentional about your friendships and relationships, which is why I love you.
Well, you know, I have to be. And I feel like you're somebody that I probably would have loved knowing in high school and would have loved knowing my entire life, because you have such, there's a bliss about you. Now, is it fair to say that you may not have always been this guy?
Yeah, you know, I was born with a happy gene, so I've always been that guy. But unfortunately, I had a different paradigm that I was always trying to get more. And so very comparative, not in the wholeness of what I am today. So always happy, but I was interfering with my potential and my happiness all the time by not understanding I am. I was stuck, like you, I think, in a world of I want people to think I am, not who I am.
Oh my God. Do you know how? I think that's where we have this sister-brother relationship, because I was all about what I was doing. I have a wall in my studio, which I'd love you to see one day in Tampa, Florida, of my accomplishments. When my parents passed away, they left me boxes of photos. I didn't know who most of those people were. And I thought, I would love to tell the story of my life. I don't remember a lot of it. A lot of it was extraordinary. I mean, hosting the original X Games, having national talk shows. And I said, and because there was no social media when I was growing up, there was no chronology or any history of what I had done, which I thought was pretty important. And so I have a 100-foot wall in my studio, and I scrapbooked the entire wall, starting with, you know, my dad and his inventions, and then going off to the Miss Teenage America pageant. I have a photo of me and Bob Hope in 1976. And you're like, wow, Forbes, this is kind of extraordinary and unusual. And I also dream that one day, like the movie Joy, if you build it, they will come. But I had to step back when I finished the wall. And I love giving a tour of it, because I was all about what's next, what have I accomplished, not who I am as a person. And it wasn't until I got to a good portion of that journey where the world just shook, and I know it did for you as well. Will you share with everyone, you also have an extraordinary list of accomplishments that allowed you to get here. And I can't say that we can't deny this. You guys, life is about the accomplishments, the awards, and it also judges the amount of people that you impact. But you set out on a career path. I'm going to take myself off this main screen. Would you just share with us, as I've been reading about who you really are, what you've done up until this shift?
Yes. Well, I think who I was in those accomplishments was one of the biggest accomplishments of my life is that I got to play college football with no talent at all. So it was, to me, a huge achievement. I still think it's the closest to my potential to be an average Division III or below average Division III college football player, considering the level of skills that I had and what I was born into genetically and energetically. But then graduating law school, I worked for a company called West Publishing in 1992. By 1995, not only was I a millionaire, but we exited for $3.4 billion. I then leveraged my brand, not as a lawyer, which I was a maritime lawyer, a litigator who never practiced law, but had to take the bar because that was the achievement that my mom wanted for me. And I always lived to make sure that I was living up to what my mom wanted for me and through me. And if it made her happy, it would make me happy. But I never practiced law. I went up to the Silicon Valley and raised hundreds of millions of dollars in the middleware space, transcoding the internet onto WAP phones with no engineering degree, and then became CEO of Samsung's data phone division, the world's first smartphone in 1999. Before they called them smartphones, it was a Windows CE device. So I got to work with the biggest names at Microsoft and HP, again, raising millions and millions of dollars until I finally helped through my sales skills, build that company to the second largest manufacturer of phones in the world, which they decided then that I should be a vice president of sales or executive vice president of sales, not a CEO. So they kicked me out because I didn't want to be what I truly should have been, which was a salesperson, an executive. I wanted to be a CEO. And I met Lee Steinberg, the most notable sports agent in the world. Cameron Crowe had made the movie Jerry Maguire about our firm, and I became the CEO of the most notable sports agency, where not only was I worth over $100 million, but I had access to what billionaires couldn't even afford to do or do. And I married my dream girl. I lived my dream life. But that's when I realized that my dreams were exactly that, illusions, and that I was actually born into, although I had a single mom and six kids who worked two jobs and packed my dinner in a paper bag, I was born into fulfillment, to purpose, and I had lost it. So my paradigm shift became when my wife and best friend and mom and dad elevated my awareness to my emptiness, and I had a choice to make to continue to pursue death or to regain and take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become to help others to be passionate, purposeful, and profitable. So I came up with a motto of making a lot of money, helping a lot of people, and having a lot of fun. And for the last 17 years, including a bankruptcy early on, of losing everything to reset those values, protected, promoted, and loved by God, I have done just that, where today, I have not only made back everything financially, but I live in a place of fulfillment, purpose, and passion, and that profitability keeps on following me.
Wow. So out of that, what do you recommend for young entrepreneurs as they're architecting their dreams?
Well, one, know your values. I think a lot of people don't understand that so much becomes easier when you know the values, you know what people to surround yourself with, what ideas to have. It allows you to have the ultimate skill set of an entrepreneur, which is faith, and incorporated in faith is patience. Divine time, I think, is the greatest characteristic of an entrepreneur. It allows us to do our best every day, learn lessons, and have fun, even though the outcome seems so far, 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 far away, and we never seem to get what we want or better. But with divine time in mind, we can pursue a divine direction and stay in spirit inspired. Our purpose is always greater than the greatest pain, which is the pain of being an entrepreneur. So my best advice is to stay in business and to have your values, mine being gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and inspiration. And then the second one is be consistent. I think most people don't realize 90% of the exponential outcomes that Forbes and I have had in our life, these things called accolades and achievements, the quantitative analysis of our lives, it comes from 90% the non-negotiable values and execution of those values that are consistent every day. 10% come from the variable, infrequent type of activities that we have. But we are older, Forbes and I, and I will gladly tell any young entrepreneur, if you think you can keep up with Forbes and I, if you think you could shadow me for one day, if you want to learn about what it takes, what it means to have a desire that you must be what you can be, then look at some people that don't need to do it, are have already done it every day, and are doing more today than we did at 16, 26, 36, 46, 56, or 66. And I'm just one of the guests that we had, and I don't think she was on your episode. She's one of my mentors, one of my best friends, and she's 87 years old. And her name is Diane Cannon. And she looks younger than I do. She's healthier than I am. She has more energy than I am. She wears 4-inch stiletto heels and dances into the Laker games and doing Academy Award nominated, obviously, still creating TV shows, movies, entrepreneurship, meditating every day, exercising, eating right, 87 years old. And I promise you, young people out there that think you're an entrepreneur and you're consistent and persistent, then go hang out with Diane Cannon, Forbes Riley, or David Meltzer and learn what that really means.
You know, it's funny, Elaine Lalane at 98 is one of my key mentors and one of the women who allowed me, I think, to enjoy this journey of 60, because she's 30 years past that, and said to me at one point, I was looking at a book of hers on a coffee table, and she was in a leotard, and said, "How old do you think I am in that photo?" And I thought, like 40. She said, "I'm 62." She said, "Don't screw up those 60s. It was my best years ever." And I thought, nobody on this planet looks at that decade and said that would be your best. But when you're, I mean, just think about it. If you're continuing down this road, you're going to get there. And you ought to look at David's travel schedule. We literally crisscross each other all over the country. And I said to him the other day, I'm like, how do you do it? Because I'm starting to wear and tear a little bit. But I love that idea. I do think that, you know, you spark something that maybe I do need to create a shadow program, because I don't think anyone would believe how hard you and I work. And the irony is, we don't need to work at all. I don't work for the money. I make money everywhere, but I don't work for the money. And I said this to Joshua yesterday. We were in Park City, Utah. Today we're in Tampa, Florida, going into a conversation with a gentleman who was in an office. And I said to my partner, I said, you know, because he's never worked in an office, I said, do you realize we don't go to work ever? No one says you have to go in at 5 a.m. every morning and clock out at 4, and here's your lunch hour. I could get up at noon if I wanted to, and some days I do. I thought, what a spectacular way to live your life. But you said it. We technically work harder than I've ever worked before to keep up with my own schedule, to travel and be at events, and I freaking love it. I don't want anything else. This is what I want. People say, what do you want for your birthday? I'm like, to be healthy enough to enjoy the life I've created. Because too often people get to the point where they want to retire, think they can do it all, and their health fails, or they stop doing something because they retired. David, where are you going to retire to, right? What are you going to stop doing?
Right.
Having people love on you everywhere you go? This is
That's why it's
like,
sweet purpose.
so I also think when I talk to young entrepreneurs, and it's an interesting thing that you said, I think part of the message looking at you and me is just buckle up and prepare to fail. If you don't fail, you won't learn. You won't understand. And so while we give you these gifts of being consistent and being spiritual and having great relationships, go out there and fail your butt off. Because and succeed, it doesn't much matter. But you've got to live your life. It doesn't get handed to you. And you've got children. What
Definitely.
messages have you inspired in them?
Yeah, it's so interesting because the same thing I would tell an entrepreneur. It's really simple when you talk about failing fast or what the purpose of failing is. And it comes from three things that will allow you to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. And what it is one, can you do your best every day? That's not giving 100%. You will burn out if you give 100% into work every day. You'll burn out. But are you doing your best at all the activity? Are you doing your best to be a father and balance it with being a husband? And are you doing your best at making money and activity you get paid for? Are you doing best in charity? Are you doing your best in speaking or writing books or coaching, whatever it is you do? So one, I tell my kids, no matter what activity they're in, I just ask them, did you do your best? Considering the external circumstances, your past and your future, did you do your best? Two, what did you learn? It's no good unless you learn. So you can fail, but if you don't learn, you're just going to fail again. So I'm always trying to extract from whoever I'm with the lessons, the dummy tax that they've paid, because I get sick over you were talking about Donald Trump Jr. I get sick over politics about taxes because people are so aggravating when they're so worried about state taxes and federal taxes. I'm like, I don't care where you live, bro. The dummy tax is expensive. Forget 10 or 12% expert, you know, and all you got to do is learn things and you won't have to pay the dummy tax and you don't have to learn them yourself. You can find mentors like Forbes Riley and say, hey, Forbes, you sit in a situation I want to be in. Can you give me directions on how to get there without all the potholes, without all the failures and the dummy tax that have cost people like David Meltzer over $100 million by not knowing what they don't know? So one, do your best. Two, learn lessons. And then the one thing I love most about you, and we share this even in the painful part of our journeys, is did you have fun? Like, are you able to learn to love what other people don't like, what other people don't love? Can you make the best of a situation and just have fun traveling all over the world with your spouse and, you know, have fun raising kids and have fun with the things that other people don't like? Because if you do, life will tell you all its secrets. So only three things I look at is do your best, learn lessons, and have fun. And I promise you, it will take you to where you want to be or better.
And that is my first segment, you guys, the one and only David Meltzer, who I will tell you, I think he did discover the 25th hour in the day, because when you follow him, and I urge you to do that, his television shows from Office Hours, which I'm on, to 2 Minute Drill. I'm sure he's got other things I don't even know, new books, new projects. He is the most accessible man as well. I will tell you, David, we have 30 seconds left. How do people find you and what do you offer them?
Yes, please just email me directly, david@dmeltzer.com. And I'd love to sign a book, send it to them and pay for shipping and the book. It's the best way to get a frequency, an idea of who I am in the neighborhood of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. david@dmeltzer.com. Email me directly.
And then stay tuned for the show, because I will talk about 2 Minute Drill, which is a phenomenal television show geared towards pitching and entrepreneurs and inventors, which has my heart. And then I just did Office Hours at Films at the Wynn with David. Where can we find Office Hours?
Apple TV for all the shows, including my podcast, The Playbook, Elevator Pitch with Entrepreneur Magazine. So just all different platforms, from Reach TV, of course, Apple TV and Entrepreneur Magazine.
And I hope you just understood what he just said. He has a book that he is willing to pay the shipping to get to you. Simply directly email him. And again, one of the greatest role models you will ever come across. If you are lucky enough to be invited to one of his special dinners, you are lucky enough. I will tell you, some of the greatest moments of my life, who I've met, interacted, got to share ideas with. David, I just love you and I will see you soon. I think our next together is in California together, but you never know. We pop up.